This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Wireless Access World. We're about to speak to Carlo McDonald, who's the CEO of Verge. Welcome to Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us what's Verge and where it fits into its own corporate structure and what its mission is.
Okay. Verge Wireless was created about 2.5 years ago. We started out as looking at hotspots and quickly realized that that wasn't the best way to go about deploying in a city. And a company called FHP, which is now Tropos, started coming into existence, although they didn't have any product on the market yet. And we formed a relationship with them to learn more about how mesh, wireless mesh networks, can work in metropolitan areas.
Say a little about how mesh wireless networks do work.
Okay. Well, basically, a hotspot, you have to run a network cable to every one of the devices. That's the traditional way of building a Wi-Fi network. With mesh, you can disperse these access points, or we call them Wi-Fi cells, on light poles, on buildings, and only a few have to actually have a connection to the internet or to your network.
So in a way, it's a lot like cellular, but at different frequencies.
Absolutely, that's exactly right. And so, you can also expand the network fairly easy by adding more nodes to the network, and so it's a perfect fit for a city or a town looking to build out public wireless networks or public safety. We do both.
Because essentially they can put it in some place that's the hottest hotspot and then move out on the periphery like a creeping plant or something.
Exactly. For example, out here we have the Mississippi River, and we don't necessarily have fiber running along the river there, but there's a jogging path that's going in and other things, and Wi-Fi mesh works perfect to provide security cameras in those areas, as well as laptop and wireless internet coverage.
And voice over IP, so people can talk while they're jogging.
Absolutely, that's coming down the pipe.
Okay, say a little bit about your own technical background.
Sure.
And how you got involved with this.
Sure. I've been in the industry for about 20 years here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have another company called Camsoft Data Systems, which is the parent company of Verge Wireless. We do network integration, and my background's application development, and so we do a lot of that as well. It's about a 50-50 mix. And we actually got into the wireless business because of the real estate industry that we do a lot in, and we were getting ready to write some mobile applications and realized that there wasn't really any good infrastructure to run these things on, and that's when we started researching what was available, and Wi-Fi seemed to be the least expensive and the best option. And that's how Verge came about.
So you've been building out your hardware network so you can put more of your software out there.
If you look at a lot of my previous conversations and a year or two ago, you'll always hear me talk about it's not about the Wi-Fi network. It's about the applications and how cities and towns and businesses use these networks. And to me, that's where the big boom's going to be. The problem is we don't have the networks, and that's what we're working on now, is to work with cities on building these networks out. But ultimately, you'll see Verge kind of mold into an application firm as well, and working on these types of services that we can run on these networks.
In the same way that all those western towns that were muddy, it was a question of building the streets and the roads.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't the streets and the roads, it was what was built around them.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Say something to orient to both me, I think, and our listeners about the different flavors of Wi-Fi that are available now. The alphabet soup seems to be exploding. Could you just say a little bit about A through N or I and what all the different Wi-Fis are?
Well, they,
if you can.
I talked to somebody at Wi-Fi Planet in San Jose a couple of weeks ago, and he's involved in some of the newer Wi-Fi protocols coming out, so they goes up to JK and everywhere else. But right now you basically have 802.11a, B, and G, B and G being the most common. We like to use at this time 802.11b, which allows a further distance away from the different nodes and cells that are out there, but it's a little slower speed. G is a little faster speed, but you have to be closer,
right,
to these cells, as well as the cells need to be closer. So cities that want to deploy these G networks will have to spend a little more money because those nodes have to be closer. A is used mainly from a backhaul standpoint, from injecting bandwidth or getting the internet connections. We a lot of times will use 802.11a products to get that done. You've got I coming out. You've got some some other protocols that are coming out that, have enhanced the security. Of course, everybody is afraid to an extent of Wi-Fi, and as long as you protect yourself and you do what you need to do to keep your network and your laptops protected, you're fine. But there are some advanced protocols coming out that will enhance voice over IP, for example. It will also enhance the security sides as well.
Well, say something in general sort of about upgrade compatibility. Is it possible to install something now without having to totally rip it out and put in something else when better protocols are developed? What's the general picture on that?
Well, one of the things we looked at was, and then that was a thought that came across our mind two and a half years ago, is you don't want to put something in and we got to strip it all out. The equipment we use generally can be easily swapped out, easily upgraded. Generally, most things that are coming out now are BG,
right.
and those are intermixed. So you can have a slower 802.11b card in your device, and it'll work with a G network, but you'll have a slower rate.
Right.
And same thing if you have a G card and you connect to a one of our hot zones, which is running at 802.11b, your card will generally drop down to that slower speed.
Okay, so if you install a BG network, B or G systems in the laptop or the Wi-Fi phone or whatever
right.
will be compatible.
Right.
And that'll. And what happens when I comes in?
That's a good question. Those I would imagine that most vendors will create the Wi-Fi cards and devices that will also intermix at this time.
But in fact, an upgrade path will be found.
It has to be.
In the same way everyone's upgrades from a Commodore 80 to what
absolutely,
now,
it has to be. It's one of the things that makes us a little bit unique too from other hot zone providers is we've written all of our own infrastructure, and the reason we've done that is because of the constant changing that's going on. I know that when somebody looked at my business plan 2.5 years ago, it's changed about 3 or 4 times since then because of the market and what's going on in the industry. That's the same thing that the manufacturers know and are aware of. It's one of the reasons we believe in Wi-Fi from a public deployment standpoint or city deployment, is because everybody has Wi-Fi at home. I think somebody told me there'd be 300 million Wi-Fi devices in the next year. I forgot the figure; it came from one of the magazines, but that's outstanding.
So clearly, the industry's not going to want to strand people.
Absolutely not. That's Wi-Fi is becoming the general way of communicating.
Okay, let's talk about this, some specifics now. Pershing Square is in Los Angeles. It's across the street from the Biltmore Hotel, I think.
That's correct.
What's your involvement there? Did you come to the city of Los Angeles? The city of Los Angeles come to you? What's the purpose and the extent of the rollout of Wi-Fi in Pershing Square that Verge is involved with?
Okay. We're working very closely with the CRA in Los Angeles.
Tell people who don't know what it is, the CRA, Community Redevelopment Agency.
That's right. The Redevelopment Agency. I think Community Redevelopment Agency. Thank you. I was going to say city. But
right.
Working with them, we saw the RFP come out.
When was that about?
That was probably mid last year.
Okay.
And we approached them. We applied. We went through the process. I think some things that allowed us to win the bid was some of the flexibility that a city can do. And the city's, the goal is to figure out how to build these networks and pay for them without spending too much money. And
right.
there's services that you can put on these networks that will help cities fund these types of deployments. So I think that attracted their attention to us as well. Right now we're in the process of getting the fiber laid down in the area and also getting the portal pages and everything. We have shooting for sometime early February,
okay.
First or second week in February.
Now the fiber optic is essentially the backhaul, right?
That's right. We're working with DWP.
How far did they have to come from? It's my understanding that DWP has a Department of Water and Power in Los Angeles has an extensive array of unlit fiber, dark fiber around the city.
They do,
but it didn't run to Pershing Square yet.
It's in the area.
Right.
We've contracted with a local internet provider there to provide the backhaul,
right.
And DWP is just providing the transport or the bridge to get from our ISP there in One Wilshire
right.
to our first node, which is the one that's connected to the internet.
How did you decide that fiber would be better than using some kind of a wireless backhaul?
One reason is that, you know, one of the things that we're trying to show is how you can use some of the city resources that are already there.
Right.
And the city of Los Angeles it wants to do that. Obviously, you can put up a wireless point-to-point. It would require us to get rooftop space, and that's costly.
Okay.
We looked, and that, I believe, helped us win the bid that we're flexible. We want to work with cities to figure out the best ways to deploy these things.
Okay, now this fiber backhaul that takes advantage of the DWP's fiber, how much of a gusher is it? Is there all the bandwidth you'll ever want to need?
Initially the park will have 5 megs.
Okay.
And then as it grows, and you know, we look to try to look at other areas in the city that we can expand these networks. That's kind of looking. We look at that as kind of our initial footprint, and then we start seeing where else we can expand to.
Okay, be a little more technical. Whose nodes are you going to be using there in Pershing Square?
We are using nodes from Tropos.
Okay, tell us just a little bit about that company and its products and why they're the ones you're using there.
Tropos builds wireless mesh network products. We've liked them, and there's other vendors out there, but we particularly like the Tropos products because of their ease of use, ease of installation. These devices, because potentially you could have hundreds of them out there, need to be easily swapped out, and these things can do that. The company is probably one of the stronger players, if not the strongest player in the metropolitan hot zones that are really starting to pick up.
So you know they'll still be there later.
That was a thought 2.5 years ago, because we got involved with them before they even had a product out in the market. And
where are they based?
They came from San Mateo,
right?
And they're now down in the San Jose area.
Okay.
So they've got.
Are you going to be using one particular box of theirs?
We're using out the outdoor Tropos 5110.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, there's a picture of that on the Utopia Media homepage.
I think I saw it on your... I think you do have that on the website.
It's kind of the gold standard right now for these municipal hot zones.
That's right.
Okay. Are you open to talk a little bit about money here? How much the city of L.A. is paying you to do all this?
I believe it's public information, but we've contracted for 2 years at about $50,000.
Per year?
No.
It's about
$25,000 a year.
Okay. And what are they getting for the money? Are you going to operate this once you've installed it as well?
We handle everything.
Okay.
They have a group that has developed the experiencela.com is doing the portal pages and working with us on that. But we'll handle all the user support. We handle all the maintenance, everything on the network.
Okay. Now, for people who are going to use it, what's it going to cost them? What kind of arrangements are going to be necessary? Can someone just wander into Pershing Square with their laptop, sit down, kick the pigeons out of the way, and then start computing? Or do they have to sign up with you or with the city or with somebody else? How much is it going to cost them?
It won't cost them anything. The city pretty much controls what they want to charge, but I know it's been agreed that at this time the service is completely free.
Right. You're going to keep spammers from coming in and doing
this? One of the things that we do is we require everybody to at least register an account.
Okay.
And then we verify email address.
All right.
So if you don't, you know, anybody tries to get on and gives a fake email address, we're going to block them the next time they try.
Okay.
So we do have some security built in there.
Because we don't want a swarm of spammers. Because I've just been reading that among the evil things spammers are doing now is that they cruise around and use unguarded Wi-Fi connections
exactly
to send their
right.
spam out, and then they disappear into the night before you can find them.
We have always required a login.
Okay.
From the very start, for that exact reason, and you know, we're very much against anybody who has wireless access points just wide open. And there are a few, there are some down there that are just like that.
Right.
You know, that's going to change as people become more security conscious on these things.
Okay, we can go in different directions here, but why don't we talk about voice over IP now?
Sure.
And why the rollout, which we're going to talk about more subsequently, of Wi-Fi is important for voice over IP, and what kind of devices are now available to take advantage of that?
Okay. Well, there's quite a few voice over IP phones now coming out. I think this year you're going to see a huge explosion from the cellular guys providing phones that have Wi-Fi capability.
Essentially, dual mode or multi mode.
That's right. Some of these devices can actually, you know, that has Wi-Fi capabilities can stream incredible amounts of data to those phones when they come into, say, Pershing Square.
Right.
And they've registered an account with us. There are some
and are those bandwidths over Wi-Fi going to be faster than the bandwidth with cellular now?
Yeah, some of the technologies like EVDO and a few other ones that are being offered by some of the cell phone companies, the best you're going to get from those things is at the absolutely best 2 megs.
Right.
Wi-Fi on 802.11b, which is the slowest version of Wi-Fi, you're looking at in real world 6 to 8 megs.
Right, 2 or 3 times faster.
That's right. So there's a better capability of streaming down video and TV and other things that you're starting to hear about. Not to mention online gaming and things like that.
So essentially, then someone can come in to Pershing Square with a laptop, connect over Wi-Fi, and stream video onto the screen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, absolutely.
Right.
We've been testing some voice over IP phones from some various companies and have had great success with it. One of the things that providers are doing, like Verge Wireless, is that you have to have what they call quality of service.
Right.
And what that essentially means is that when somebody's making a phone call, that phone call packet of data has more precedence over, say, somebody playing a game online.
Right.
And so those kind of things have to be built into these networks, and that's the stuff that you're starting to hear about and is now starting to come out of a lot of the manufacturers.
So that essentially determines which uses get the
priority. That's
right. On the network.
Right.
Okay.
The voice usually being the first priority.
All right. Let's say that this is set up in the beginning of February it ought to be available?
That's what we're shooting for right now, early February.
Are you going to be doing any kind of advertising beyond talking to Utopia Media about what you're doing there? What, you have an advertising campaign in mind over the net or otherwise?
Yeah, obviously all of our hot zones are advertised to all the major Wi-Fi databases, JWire, Yahoo, the rest of them.
Right.
I know that CRA has a lot planned as well.
Right.
We will probably have some sort of opening ceremony or something as the network gets deployed, but leaving that really up to the CRA to handle and how they want to advertise.
Okay.
It.
Now, presumably, the city through the CRA is going to be looking at this to see how well it functions technically, how many people use it, et cetera, and what their reaction to it all is.
That's right.
Have they said anything about expanding it around Pershing Square or putting up other places in the city if there's a good response?
Yeah, in the RFP, that was one of the things they stated, that although it wasn't a guarantee that whoever won the RFP would be highly considered in any other areas. My last visit to the city, I was able to give a presentation to some of the other CRA members, everybody's interested in expanding, especially in areas that don't have broadband available, and we've talked to them on some of those areas as well. But this deployment is definitely a test for them to see how well it performs and how well the access is. And then from that, they are looking at some other areas to expand.
All right. Now, that takes us pretty immediately into this other issue, which is kind of a political and legal one.
Mm-hmm.
I covered pretty thoroughly the activities in Pennsylvania in November and December of last year,
right,
in which the city of Philadelphia has set up a panel to study putting Wi-Fi in the whole city. Shortly after that, Los Angeles' Mayor Hahn set up a similar panel in L.A., which is looking into that, which has also been covered on our sites.
Right.
Verizon in Pennsylvania didn't think it would be a good idea to have the city providing Wi-Fi and someone coming in and providing voice over IP over that, so they went to the legislature in Harrisburg and got a law passed saying that cities can't provide muni broadband systems, although they had to waive their right of first refusal for Philadelphia in order to get the governor to pass it, to sign it, but the rest of the state is still under that iron control of Verizon. What do you see as the implications of this for California and the risk going forward that the good technology and the usefulness of all this is going to be stifled by incumbent telcos and cable companies that don't want the competition?
Well, isn't that something we've had to deal with forever now? But I'm very, very knowledgeable on what's going on over there in Philadelphia. Tropos is involved with that as well. They're the one of the hardware providers for that project.
Right.
We have Lafayette, Louisiana, which has been on the front page of a lot of magazines, which is only 45 minutes from me here.
Right.
Which is a city that is looking to provide the triple play, which is all three services on their own city-owned fiber backbone.
Three services being internet access, voice, and video.
That's correct.
That's a triple play?
That's right.
And how are the cable and telco companies, which hate each other individually, uniting to fight against this?
They're fighting pretty heavily, and I've been fortunate enough to be appointed by our governor here in Louisiana to be on the Louisiana Broadband Council, which is our job to present to legislature in the next 3-4 months what path we should take, because you may not know this, but Louisiana already has a law on books about cities owning public wireless networks.
What's the law? It says they can or can't?
They can, but you have to go through some certain procedures and checks and balances before it can be done, and I'm all for that, because you definitely want to make sure that there is actually a need for this to be done in the city,
right,
and that somebody's just not trying to get in there and make a quick buck. And so I actually talked to the senator who pushed that bill, and he explained to me why, and it makes a lot of sense. So it can be done here in Louisiana. It is allowed. Lafayette has already gone through the process. It requires things like presenting it to the city public and having them vote and,
right,
and whatnot. So those things are all important, and I do think they should be there, but I think it's what happened in Philadelphia or in that state is a little crazy, and I think it'll probably be challenged down the road.
Okay, now I did an interview with a spokesperson from Intel earlier this week, mm-hmm, in which they expressed their desire implicitly to sell as many chips as possible and explicitly to keep open the possibility of muni broadband networks.
Right.
And the spokesperson was talking about a mixed system in which the government would do a certain amount and private companies would be able to do a certain amount. What can you say about the mix of about what the options are, what you prefer, what you think is going to happen in terms of how much of the infrastructure is going to be built and operated, quote, by the city or by its utility, and what ought to be done by private companies?
Right.
What's your take on all that?
Well, I think it's going to be different in different places.
Right.
Some cities are going to just give lamppost permission and for a company to come in and just install the equipment, and basically the city's involvement is saying, yes, please come do this into our city.
Right.
You'll have other areas where a city will pay for all the infrastructure, but it'll become a wholesale network,
right,
where then they will sell access to different vendors like a Verge Wireless.
Well, under that system, essentially, will the city own and operate the infrastructure but not take care of customers, and ISPs would come in to take care of customers?
Yes, I think that's definitely a valid solution.
Right.
They may hire another company just to take care of the hardware side of that and monitor,
right,
the networks. But as far as the users, I mean, one of the things we've always believed in is that these networks need to be as open as possible, not open from a public access, but open to the different companies out there, even the cell phones. I mean, we want our network to be as open and as easy for a Sprint user to get online there as a Boingo user or any of these guys. And
right,
cities need to look at that when they put these networks out. And then, the third option is the city owns and runs, and they just hire a Verge Wireless to manage everything, but they own the hardware.
So essentially, in Los Angeles, that would mean that DWP would put it on its on your DWP bill.
Yeah.
Under that third option.
Yeah.
You'd have water, you'd have electricity, and you'd have internet.
That's right.
Okay. Why don't we wrap up by talking as much as you want to about the next stage in the rollout of wireless in the county of Los Angeles, which is,
sure,
the project that West Hollywood is talking about, and that presumably you were busy yesterday getting a bid in on.
That's correct.
What have they talked about, and what have you proposed, as far as you can talk about it, mm-hmm, for them to do?
Well, it was real odd that it came out, because when I was in Los Angeles a few month or two back, we stayed in West Hollywood,
right,
my wife and I, and really had a great time down there. But I was sitting in some of the restaurants and going, I'm not getting any Wi-Fi signal around here.
Right.
And oddly enough, the RFP came out, and we are actively, we did send a bid in for that. Our goal is to try to expand in the Los Angeles area. I would like to expand our company to the West Coast, and there's a lot of opportunities there. West Hollywood is one of them.
West Hollywood is a concentration of entertainment people. Mm-hmm. It's compact. It's affluent. It's got a lot of cafes. It's a poster child for Wi-Fi.
It's perfect. And my wife and I were sitting there, and you know, we're looking at the shopping centers and walking the streets, and there's just a lot of activity down there, and people are generally sitting in these cafes and sitting in their meeting there, doing business there.
Right.
And that's a perfect place for a Wi-Fi network.
You want to be able to call up the contracts and send them over to the studios as fast as you can.
Absolutely. You know, we get calls all the time from people, especially here in Baton Rouge in our hot zone downtown, where we get a call and say, you know, I couldn't get my PowerPoint presentation to load. I had to re-get it. I had to reload it from my network at the office, and it was so great having the Wi-Fi network there because I just opened up my laptop and got on and got a secure connection back. And you know, that's to me is where it needs to be everywhere if we could, but that's where it needs that's a perfect solution down there in West Hollywood.
Okay. Well, why don't you expand that out a little bit and just talk about what you envision 2 to 3 years from now if everything goes according to the best possible scenarios. What's going to be available to people in their day-to-day functioning at home, on the road, and at work with Wi-Fi, voice over IP, TV over IP, and the whole gamut of services that Wi-Fi is going to make possible?
Well, that's a lot of stuff there.
Right.
I'm excited. As I mentioned earlier, I've been in this business 20 years, and I didn't get too excited about the early dot-com boom. I thought a lot of stuff was a little crazy, but wireless is really, especially from an application development side, is going to open the doors for a lot of neat things, a lot of things that make our lives even easier. I see wireless being a part of a city. A city or a town has got to have these accesses to the internet easily available, not just downtown, but everywhere. It's cost effective to deploy these networks, so the cost per month for a user should come down considerably. Charging somebody $80 a month for a wireless internet connection is just crazy, and that's not going to cause growth. So Wi-Fi is a great way of getting those costs down to the $20, $15, and even $10.
Okay.
So I see an expansion on that. For as far as the technology side goes, I mean, the voice over IP is going to increase incredibly. I see the regular payphones going away and people just using voice over IP calling cards and things like that
right.
on our networks. Those are kinds of services that we're looking at. In television, radio, music on demand, all those things are available with these types of networks.
So it's like a big cloud is setting over the cities, but it's going to be a cloud that's going to bring power and convenience and education and e-government and all kinds of things to people in their everyday lives.
That's right. You know, and we didn't really talk about WiMAX, but WiMAX
well,
is a part of that.
Yeah, well, go ahead. Say a little bit about WiMAX.
Well, WiMAX is Intel is obviously backing that considerably, and everybody looks at that as the next Wi-Fi, but it'll be a while before it replaces Wi-Fi because of Wi-Fi being so well used in the homes. And in fact, I just saw, I don't know if you saw that little comment yesterday from a news magazine that said that wireless networks have overtaken LAN networks in the homes. That's a perfect example. So WiMAX will, for us, will be our backhaul.
Right.
It will allow us to expand these networks less costly in areas that we would have cost us more if we had to run a fiber or we had to run T1s and other landline type of connections.
So you envision that the WiMAX will bring it to the neighborhood or the community or the block,
mm-hmm.
and that Wi-Fi will then distribute it at that point.
Yes, we look at WiMAX as being the top cloud,
right.
and Wi-Fi sitting at the street level.
Exactly. All right. Well, I want to thank you very much. We'll hopefully get to talk to you again when the big ceremony takes place in Pershing Square.
Absolutely.
And we'll be hopefully by the next time we'll be using Wi-Fi to do all these conversations.
Perfect, perfect. I'll keep you in touch, and I'll let you know as the dates get closer.
Good. Thanks very much for talking to us today on Broadband Wireless Access World.
Thank you.
Okay.